To Know As We Are Known is the name of this one. And I think that Fred would have wanted me to say, hey, David, the knowledge up here is out of this world. And it's like, you can't understand. It's like, this knowledge up here is amazing. And you know how smart he was and how much he knew and studied down here. But now he's really getting to know things that he never knew before. Well, this is the verse. It's just one verse, 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. A French thinker wrote this. I don't know who it is, but somewhere I copied it. Do you know what makes man the most suffering of all creatures? It's that he has one foot in the finite and the other in the infinite. He's torn between two worlds. And many have called this tension between that the human condition. We are physical beings in animal bodies, and we're spiritual beings with eternal souls. And animal bodies die, but our souls live on. And Solomon is a very wise person. He wrote this in Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. In other words, he was looking at this tension between the two worlds. And we say the beauty, he has made all things beautiful. You know, we look around at creation, it is so beautiful. We look at the seasons, they are beautiful. I was just driving down this road and I was seeing all of the colors and the trees, and I thought, whoa, Lord, you really know how to paint these trees. But we see the creation, and some people look at it and say, how does it work? Those are scientists, okay? And others say, why is it here? And those are philosophers. But both of them have one foot on earth and the other in eternity. And what they're really searching for is meaning, how to put things together, meaning. So I want to read this text just one more time. Now, we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now, there's two thens in that passage, and that's talking about the afterlife. Then, in the afterlife, and the afterlife for Christians like Fred, because that guy was faithful. He was saying, David, everything you've said down there, I'm seeing it. You talked about it, but I'm experiencing it. So, and I talk about people, not at they're gone from here, but they're not gone. Oh no, they just stepped up to a higher level. Anyway, Paul wrote this this love chapter, and he valued knowledge, and he also understood philosophy, the philosophies of his day. But here in this verse, he gives us two facts and two hopes that actually they're to prevent us from something. It's just keeping one foot on earth and just thinking about that only. So he wants to prevent us from being concerned only with our present life and not with our future in the hereafter. So I'll just look at these two facts from Paul. And mostly I'm just going to give illustrations for them and maybe make a comment about them. But two facts about human life. Number one is poor perception. We see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. The Greeks and the Romans, they had mirrors, but they were made out of silver or brass, highly polished, but they got tarnished, they got scratched, they got stained, and so the reflection gradually grew more and more poor. And that's why Paul said a poor reflection in a mirror, because our mirrors are pretty good. Well, Plato had another way of putting it, and our poor human perception is like being strapped in chairs in a cave. We're strapped, we can't move, and we see these images dancing along this wall, but we can't get back and look at the images. Now, what Plato said was that philosophy helps you get free so that you could turn around and say, hey, the shadows aren't the deal. It's these images. But you got to get outside the cave where there's the true light that's shining in if you want to see the whole process and put it all together. And that's what Plato had in his mind. So what he's really, the point of this whole thing is that what gives meaning to life lies a little bit beyond our imperfect perceptions of life. So we need something else. And then the second thing is incomplete knowledge. I know in part. How many know the parable of the five blind men and the elephant? You've probably heard it again and again. Or these five blind men, they come up to an elephant, and one felt the leg, and he said it's like a tree. One felt a tusk, and he said, oh, it's like a long spear. One felt the side and said, oh, it's like a huge rock. And one felt the trunk and said, it's like a big snake. One felt the ear and said, it's like a large, thick leaf. And they all went away arguing over what an elephant was like. And none of them really perceived it completely. There's another thing. You've probably read these online or had people send them to you, and I've actually shortened this one down a lot. It's lessons I've learned in life at different stages. Okay, so the seven-year-old. I've learned our dog doesn't want to eat my broccoli either. And the age 15, I've learned I'm secretly glad my parents are strict with me. I don't know how many teenagers that's really honest about. But age 44, I've learned you can cheer up a sad person simply by sending them a note, a little note. And then age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same as making a life. Age 72, I've learned that everyone can use some prayer. And then age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn. And now, right now for us, now I know in part. Now I know in part. Right now we can't see all there is to see because we still see poorly. Our perception is poorly. And right now we can't know all there is to know because our knowledge is only partial. Even if I had known Fred all of my life, my perception of him would be imperfect. Sometimes it's helped a lot by people sharing different stories. And here's one thing at memorials I always tell people to do, is that afterward, if you have a story that nobody might know, but you want to tell it about Fred to the family, that would really be a treat, because that's what happened for me at my mom's memorial. And my dad's as well. But because of this seeing poorly, our perception of each other, you know, is incomplete. But Paul affirms those two facts about the human condition for us. But he also affirms two hopes in human death. Now, we celebrate life, but the reason we're here is because we don't celebrate life until the person has died and passed on. And then we celebrate their life. And this human death thing is something we have to face, but Paul gives us two hopes within it. Beyond an afterlife hope of knowing each other better, as we hopefully will when we get to heaven, we want to get to know the one who gave us this inborn sense of the infinite. One foot on earth, one in the infinite. You know, We want to get to know this one that gave us that inborn sense. And so hope number one is this, to personally meet God. Then we shall see face to face. Presently, God's face is hidden, and we have to walk by faith. And people, what they do is they live out the faith, or they live out the belief of what they believe is true. And all of us do it, even if we don't admit it, we do it. If we think something's true, that's what we live out. Well, personally, I lost my faith in high school as a sophomore in beginning biology. I lost my faith. But in my junior year, I studied advanced biology, and I was studying philosophy at the same time. And philosophy helped me get my faith back. And it's not just in faith alone, in a God of love. But it was faith that this wonderful, loving God had revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so hope number two is to know the whole truth. To know the whole truth. To have completely accurate perception of reality. Not just fictitious stuff, imagination, but real. The real truth. Well, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Do you have any questions for God when you get to heaven or when you get before him? Do you have any questions? I've got lots of questions for God. I got them all ready and everything like that. When I get there, I say, here's Lord, here's these questions I have. I don't understand this. I don't understand why you let this happen and that kind of thing. But are we ready for the questions God has for us? Probably none of us are ready for that yet. I think that's probably part of our journey, is to try to get ready to be able to answer the questions that God might ask us. But since we all must inevitably stand before his holy presence, it's crucial for us not to let passing finite pursuits rob us of preparing our souls for the afterlife. Focusing on the present leaves us unprepared for eternity. Death and grief over death, they highlight this tension that we have of having one foot in the finite physical and one foot in the infinite spiritual. But I disagree with that French thinker. I've invited Jesus into my heart, and I have a different perspective than he had. I know we're not the most suffering of all creatures, he said. I know we're not that, because I know what can happen when you invite the God of love into your heart. And then God's love turns this idea of being torn between two worlds into a profound hope for the human condition. Now, that was Fred's hope. I know it was Fred's hope because he confessed the Lord. He was faithful. It was part of his life that he had learned maybe as a child, but he kept on. And he was faithful in coming to church and putting up with my sermons, you know. And I tell you, that impressed me very much. Even when he was losing it, he was starting to lose it a little bit. And he just wanted to be in church. Well, if he could speak from heaven right now and we could hear him, I'm sure that he'd be recommending something to us, that all of us gathered here do the same thing he did, and that's to embrace this hope that was given in Christ. And you know, that's why I believe, I don't necessarily give these memorial messages for just the people here. I get them because I really believe they would like to speak, and I'd like to be their spokesman sometimes. Because I know they're having a great time, and they get to have it before us, some of these people that have gone on. I'm ready to go anytime. I've been through a lot physically. I'm not as old as my congregation, but I don't move like my congregation anymore because of some of the things in my life. But I'm ready for that time of I'm going to get to, you know, like I said, I only know one aspect of Fred's life, his fidelity to the Lord. But I'd like to get to know him a little bit better, and I will in that day. So I'd like to just say a little prayer before I close this. Lord God, I'm thankful for having met Fred and Hilda and Ellen and now many of his friends. I just pray, Father God, that you would help us as we remember Fred, not just today, but in the coming days, when our minds reflect back on Fred Grady, that, Lord, we will remember this man, that he did so many things down here. But where he's at right now, he's learning so much that he didn't know before, and he would like to invite us. Come on up, and you learn it too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.